And let us pray. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and to forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, our theme for this morning is entitled Prophets Without Honor. And the message I'm sharing with you today, we will touch on all three of the scripture readings that were shared with you earlier. Prophets without honor. That is what we see in our world today, and that is what we see even in our own nation today. And who are these prophets? And who does not receive the honor for the message that they bring? Well, I'm here today to share with you, guess what? Those prophets are us. We in the church, both our pastors and us as lay people. Those people who bring the word of God to others. And so it is important for us today to listen now as we consider the trials, but also the blessings of being prophets without honor. Our first scene takes us back to about 600 BC. Ezekiel is called to be God's prophet to the nation of Israel. And it was the Lord who tells Ezekiel, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, because they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." And so this was Ezekiel's calling. This was his job description. The Lord was sending him out among a rebellious people, to a people who will not listen to what he has to say. And if you think about it, those people ought to be the ones who should be listening, for after all, the wonderful things that the Lord had done for Israel in their history. And yet, what happens? They don't listen. Ezekiel will be a prophet without honor. Nevertheless, despite the reception that he does receive, Ezekiel is called to be faithful in speaking that message of the Lord, the message that the Lord had given to him, because that is what is true, what a true prophet does. Now, sometimes we hear that word prophet, we think of someone who is able to predict the future. And sometimes in the Old Testament, some of those prophets did do that. They foretold what would come because the Lord had revealed that knowledge to them. But there is a bigger thing about these biblical prophets, and it's not so much in the foretelling as it is in the word forthtelling. The prophets were to forthtell, and that means that they were to speak forth the word that the Lord had for them to speak. And it was a word of both law and gospel to the people of Israel. And often there were some serious laws causing the nation to repent of their sins, even pronouncing judgment on that nation when they would not repent. But also at the same time, these prophets brought a message of hope. A word of hope to the faithful people who remained, assuring them that the Lord would not forget them, even as judgment would fall on the nation as a whole. So forthtelling, telling forth the word of the Lord, speaking faithfully that message of law and gospel, that is what prophets are called to do. That is what you and I have been called to do also. And when they were not received, of course, which was often the case, then these prophets were prophets without honor. And now we go to scene number two. It's the first century AD, about the year 30. Jesus goes to the synagogue in his own hometown of Nazareth, and there he begins to teach. And when he teaches with great wisdom, and he speaks what is proper, proper in understanding and the application of God's law, how God's people are to live. And he also shares with them the wonderful promises that God has proclaimed, how these promises are going to be fulfilled in him, and how the kingdom of heaven has come among us in that person of Jesus Christ. And yet the people would not listen. The scriptures say, and they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Our Lord Jesus was truly a prophet with honor, but the fact of the matter was he is the prophet who is without honor. And therefore, all those that he sends out in his name that share that message, they too will be prophets without honor. And that was what Jesus tells his disciples when he sends them out in our gospel reading for today. And so the disciples go out in scene two. He tells them, quite frankly, and there will be those who will not receive them. For he tells us, and if any place will not receive you, they will not listen to you when you leave. Shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony. A testimony of what? A testimony against them, so that they went out and they proclaimed that people should repent. Jesus tells them that there will be those who will not receive them, but they still go out anyway. Our Lord commissioned them, he encouraged them, and he gave them that courage to go and to preach. And so they did. They did what they were sent to do. They proclaimed that the people should repent. Well, we hear that word oftentimes, probably every week. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to repent? And why is it so important that ministers, even in this day and age, have to proclaim that message? Well, to repent means to turn from our sins, to acknowledge them, confess them, and then turn from them. To repent means to change our way of thinking, our whole mindset about things, to see things from God's perspective as his word is proclaimed to us. And it means to give up on ourselves and to rely strictly on God, God for his righteousness, that we need to stand before him. And this is all packed into the preaching of repentance. But guess what? There are people that today that do not want to hear that either. They don't like to hear that. After all, it goes against the grain to hear that we are sinners, that we are in need of a Savior, that we cannot save ourselves. We don't like to hear this. We don't like to hear that the things that we love to do that go against God's will, that these things are sin and that we are guilty and that we are called to turn from them. We don't like to hear this. The people we share the word with, many times they don't like to hear this also. And so many times they take out their anger. Sometimes they take it out on the pastor or the preacher. They turn a deaf ear to the church and they shake their fist at God. That is why God's messengers are treated, even in this age, as prophets without honor. And then we go to our epistle reading. Scene number three. It's the first century. It's about 25 years later now, maybe around the year 55, and St. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He's been traveling around, and he's been very busy for years, traveling far and wide, doing what? Preaching the gospel of Christ. And now he's reflecting on his experience. As we well know, things have not always gone smoothly with Paul. In fact, Paul has experienced a lot of rejection, a lot of suffering for the cause of Christ. And this is what he says about it. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. Is this really how God's prophets are to be treated? Well, we know the answer, of course, is no. But guess what? It comes with the territory, doesn't it? When we bring that message that a lot of people don't want to hear, sometimes bad things happen. They hate us. They hate you for it. They may even mistreat you. They may even beat you up or persecute you. And that is what happened to Paul. But the good news is it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him from sharing that good news because Paul had a promise. He had a promise that was greater than that persecution. For Paul had a Savior who was stronger than the suffering that he went through. And I'm here today to proclaim to you also, dear friends, we too have a Savior. Our Savior too is Jesus Christ. He can help us to overcome any of those difficulties or hardships or persecutions or calamities that come into our lives. It was our Lord Jesus Christ who took on what I call the big suffering for us. He took that punishment for our sins upon the cross. And it is by his shed blood that every one of us has been forgiven. For then that Son of God died for us. That covered everything. All of our guilt is taken away. It's erased. And when this same Jesus rose from the dead, he also shared that resurrection glory with us, the victory. And that victory came to us in our own baptisms. And that has changed everything. It puts any persecution in perspective. It puts our sufferings here in this life into the big picture of salvation, and more importantly, the eternal joy that we will one day share and experience. And that is why Paul could say, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And we have that same confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And boy, how do each and every one of us really need that? For now we come to the scene four, and here we are in the 21st century of America, July 8th, 2018. We're here today in the good old U.S. of A., but we are still prophets without honor. We in the church who come bearing the word of our Lord. Why is that? Because there are many in our country who are still not listening. They are still not listening to the precious word of God. They're rejecting that message of repentance and of faith. There's a lot of brainwashing going on in our country today. Indoctrination from all levels of our society. You find it in television, the movies, our celebrities in Hollywood, the entertainment industry, the media, officials in our own government, corporations, even in some quarters of education. All of them, unfortunately, speaking out against the Word of God, despising His Word, and rebelling against it. And it is when they reject God's Word, they're also rejecting God's messengers, the church that is faithful to God's Word. And I thank God each and every day for faithful ministers within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod our own present pastor, Pastor Hesse, Pastor Allman, and if I'm missing any of the pastors that are here today, for the faithful message that they have proclaimed throughout their years of ministry. People do not want to hear that what God calls sin is sin, because they hate that. We find ourselves calling evil good and good evil. We look at many in the church, and many of them look at us. They call us bigots or homophobes, and they take offense at what we have to say. So I'm here today to tell you, well, if not, but get ready. Get ready for persecution. The God-haters of the church have us in the line of sight. And so we are to be ready. But I'm also here to tell you, don't let this stuff surprise you or get you down. You know, suffering for the sake of Christ has always been part of the church's experience. You know, in some ways, we have it pretty easy here in America. We've had it easy for a long time. But if you take a real close look, you see things are beginning to change. But what does not change is this: God's promises to his people. Our Lord promises that he will be with us through whatever hard times that we may come to endure, whether from persecution or from any other suffering that we experience. How do we know this? Well, Jesus, our Lord, speaks very clearly. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Blessed are you when all men speak evil of you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Well, my dear friends, in conclusion today, in this world, even in our own nation, we may be prophets without honor, but by God's grace, we are prophets with a Savior. And it is in his precious and holy name we give thanks for all the blessings showered upon us in his name. Amen. And now, Lord, give us courage. Courage to share your word to a dying world in these uncertain times. Open our hearts to repentance and faith in the gospel. In our blessed Savior's name, Jesus Christ, we ask it. And the people of God, the prophets without honor, said, Amen.